guys, welcome back to the All For God Soul Deo Gloria podcast. Today, we are going to be doing part 2 of 50 questions. I'm super excited, and hopefully you guys liked part 1. And if you did, you can email me at afgstgpodcast@gmail.com, or you could DM me on Instagram at All For God Soul Deo Gloria podcast to let me know what you think and who you think would make an awesome guest. So we're going to get into our questions right away. If you can't tell, by the way, while we're going throughout this, most of these episodes for 50 questions are probably going to be recorded outside. So if you hear the wind blowing or something like that, that in the background, that's what that is. Alright, so question number 1 for today, which is technically question number 4. What is your idea of what God looks like? Okay, so what I'm going to do for this is I'm going to look into a couple of Bible verses. And the first one is John 1:5, which describes God's appearance as a brilliant light because there's no darkness in him. But then the verse also goes on to say, you know, this is showing you, it's also an example of, you know, God is this brilliant light. You know, he's pure and he's never done anything wrong. He's never sinned. So that's why there cannot be any darkness in him. And this is very true because it also says in Revelation 22:5, and there will be no longer any night, and they will not have any need for the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. So to me, I don't really picture God as having this specific look about him, because when I picture God the Father, I see him as a glorious shining light sitting on the throne in heaven, and that's how I picture him. And Jesus, I picture having a human form, and then the Holy Spirit. For some reason, I don't really know if this is what the Holy Spirit actually looks like. I don't know if it even has an appearance, but whenever I think of the Holy Spirit, for some reason, I always think of a dove. Because I might be wrong about this. I might remember this incorrectly. But when Jesus was baptized, I believe it said in there that the Holy Spirit was in the form of a dove that, like, flew over Jesus' head. You know, I might have just heard that somewhere, and that's not actually true. But that's why, for some reason, I always picture the Holy Spirit as a dove. Anyway, on to question number 5, and that is there a heaven? Sorry, I lost there for a second. But yes, there is a heaven. I'm just going to start by saying that. And now I'm going to share a verse that talks about heaven and what that verse means to me. So the verse is Hebrews 13:14, and that's, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." So to me, this verse is saying that for here, meaning here on earth, we have no lasting city. And that means that no city on earth is going to last forever. Nothing on earth will last forever. And then going on into this verse, it says, "But we seek the city that is to come." And that's talking about heaven. So if we're saying that and we put that together, it's telling us that we aren't going to last here forever because nothing on earth is going to last forever. And that the city of heaven is something that we believers can look forward to as long as we are believers and we believe in God. And we believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for us. So that's what I'm going to say to answer that question. So for our final question, and by the way, these 50 question segments are going to go by so fast. They're going to be like 6 to 10 minutes, probably. They aren't going to take very long for me to record because it's only 3 questions at a time. And that, I think it's also going to be easier for you listeners, because I would get why, you know, you wouldn't really want to sit down and watch the interview that's like an hour long, which is why I try to keep them closer to 30 minutes if I can. But sometimes, you know, there's just so many questions and stuff that it just keeps going because we got a lot of good stuff. So to answer the question number 6, it is there a hell? And for this question, I'm going to be answering it, but I'm also going to be answering the question, what does hell look like? It's kind of. I'm going to be answering that a little bit because that's going to be, you know, a little bonus because I'm supposed to answer that next time, but I'm going to be answering it today instead. So I found this interesting website, and I don't know, it doesn't look like it's actually secure, but I'm looking at it right now, and I just found this to be so interesting because it says on here, on the site, I don't know if this is true, but it says that that hell is in Earth. It's like it's in the middle of the Earth. And I found this to be fascinating because I never thought of it this way. So this is more about what does hell look like. And then, yes, hell does exist. I'm just going to answer that. But yes, it does exist, and we're going to get more into that. But right now, I'm trying to figure out where it's at. Okay, so it says on here that the Earth's inner core has a temperature of over 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So if we're saying this, that means that if you go to hell, you have to, this is where you are going to be eternally. So that would not be fun at all. So, I mean, and then it also says in the Bible that when Jesus died, he descended into hell, which means you would go down. So that's why I think maybe hell is in the middle of the Earth. You know, it's a possibility, but I would have to do some more research into this. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this if I have some time to look it up. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that next time. But to answer the question, is hell real? Yes, it is real. And we have so many different verses about this. And funny thing about this episode is this is actually the third time that I'm trying to record it. The previous two times, which I'm actually going to check on that right now, but the previous two times that I was recording, it stopped recording it, and it only recorded the first couple minutes. And I was so frustrated because I had remembered this that I had learned about, and it's actually on here. And it says in Luke 16, Jesus gave us a kind of a frightening picture of hell, because it is the story, and I think it's verse 22 maybe, and it's about, I'm just going to read off of here. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send me Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am comforted, and thou art tormented. Oh, wait. And besides all this, between us and there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass us. And this is what Abraham is saying, by the way. And that they would come. Hey, guys, so it stopped recording again, so I'm just going to keep going from where I left off, and that was when I was talking about Lazarus, and I'm just going to completely restart where I was talking about it from, because I was kind of on a ramble, and I looked at this a little bit more, and now I can read it again. So I believe that this is Luke 16, verse 22 through 28, yes, and it says, the rich man also died, and I'll give you a background into this in a second, if I remember correctly. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou art in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And because of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, and would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So I learned about this story about 2 years ago, I'm guessing. So I don't know if I remember this wholly, like, fully and correctly. But if I remember correctly, this rich man was, from the name you can tell, he was very rich. And this was while they were still alive on Earth. And he was living on Earth. And Lazarus was a poor beggar. And he had begged this rich man to heal him, to help him. And Lazarus is a Christian. He believes in God. He believes that Jesus was going to send his son for him. And he believed this, so he's in this place with Abraham. And he's in Abraham's bosom, is what it's called. And while he's there, Lazarus and the rich guy had both died. And so Lazarus, being a believer, he went to Abraham's bosom, which is a place that they had before heaven, because this is before Jesus died for us. And then the rich man, he did not believe in Jesus. He did not believe in God. So he was sent to hell. So here's this rich man. He is being tortured terribly, and he can see Lazarus up in heaven, up with Abraham, and he begs Abraham. He sees him. He sees Abraham, and he's begging him. He's saying, "Please, please send Lazarus. Just let him dip his finger in water, that I might have just a drop of that water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." He is being tortured in hell, and he is begging for this to help, just a little bit of water. But Abraham says, "We are in heaven. You know, if we leave, we cannot come back. So we cannot go to you. We cannot come to you. We cannot help you." And this rich man, he's beyond himself at this point. And he's saying, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that they may testify unto them, that they may also not come unto this place of torment." So here's this rich man. He's begging them to send Lazarus to go back to earth to tell his brothers to testify to them so that they might come, so that they could go to heaven, so that they wouldn't have to go to this place of torment. And Lazarus, he cannot go back to heaven. Go back to earth. He's in heaven. He cannot do this. He's already testified to them, and they did not believe. I mean, this rich man did not believe. Why would they be, like, they believe the exact same things he does, you know? So it was, this story, I think, was something I wanted to bring up about this, is hell real? Because this is an example of how badly, you know, how awful it's going to be if you have to go to hell. And if you don't believe in God, then this is where you're going to go. And that's just a terrifying thought. And so that's why I thought that was something that I wanted to share for that portion, because I also wanted to share a little story to help this episode be a little bit longer, so it's not just like 6 minutes. That way it's closer to more like 10, maybe 12 minutes. And that's why I decided to do that. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. It was part 2 of 50 questions, and make sure you stay tuned for part 3. I'm super excited, and I hope you guys are as well. Thanks for listening, and remember, in all you do, do it all for God's glory. Hey, you guys! Welcome back to the All for God Soul Diego Gloria podcast. I am super duper excited because today we are going to be ending 50 questions. So I know I have it titled as 50 questions, and I said that we were going to do 50 questions. However, some of these questions I'm not actually going to get to, and here's why. So as I said when I started the 50 questions, I am so extremely busy that it's been probably, by the time that I release this, 5 or 6 weeks since I've last updated. And that's a really long time. And I don't want to have to leave you guys waiting super duper long periods of time before I can update. So I'm mostly going to end up be working on my podcast during the summer. However, if I do find time that I can get a guest on, or if I can record a bonus episode or something like that, then I will definitely be letting you guys know on my Instagram account, which is All For God Soul Deo Gloria Podcast. And if you don't follow that, go follow that right now, because that's how you get all of your updates for when new stuff is coming out for the podcast. And it's super awesome, so make sure you check that out. Anyway, I am not able to post every other 2 weeks, as I have been doing, because I'm super duper busy and swamped. Right now, I have so much stuff going on. I started volleyball this year, so I have volleyball, I have my basketball, I have schoolwork. I'm really, really busy, and I just haven't been able to find time to work on my podcast because I'm so busy with other things. And I am super duper disappointed and sad about this, but as I said, I'm going to be doing my best to, whenever I can, be releasing stuff, but it's not going to be as periodically anymore. It's not going to happen every other 2 weeks or every other 4, like, it's not going to happen like that anymore. I'm going to be posting on my story on Instagram, like I've said, which, once again, that account is called All For God Soul Deo Gloria Podcast, and that's how you're going to be knowing when I'm going to be posting stuff. I might post some stuff on my personal accounts as well, but that's how you're going to be getting updates for when new stuff is coming out for the podcast. Because as I just said, I'm so busy, I'm unable to do this as periodically as I was before. So what I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be doing a huge portion of 50 questions. So in the past, I've done around 3 to 5 questions when I'm recording for this, but today I'm going to be doing a lot of questions, probably about 20 or so. And the reason for this is, like I said, I'm so busy that I'm not able to get through all of these, and I'm probably not going to end up answering every single one of these 50 questions on here. And a lot of these questions are kind of like opinion based, like what's the best story in the Bible, like things like that. Those are more like, what is your own opinion on that? And I'm going to be posting that on my story on Instagram, as I've said, and if you want to, you can go and reply to that, and I will be posting replies. I might even have another episode, if I find time, where I will share your responses like that if I can. And of course, they'll be all anonymous unless you say specifically, sorry about the noise, but unless you specifically say that you want me to give you, say what your name is and say like that, then I will go ahead and do that most likely. Anyway, we are going to hop right in here because we have a lot of questions to get through, and I've got some time right now, so we are going to do as many of these as we can. Let's see, where do we leave off? What is the difference between being spiritual and being religious? So I think this is kind of an iffy question, and I have my Chromebook up in front of me right now while I'm doing this. So I'm going to be looking up some definitions and stuff while I'm doing this, and the definition of spiritual, something I'm going to be looking up. And while I'm doing that, I'm just going to say I think that it's going to be very similar, and it's going to be a little different. So being spiritual means relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. So what I think this is saying, according to Google, so we're going to go according to Google, and then we're going to say my own personal opinion. So according to Google, it is saying that it is affecting the human spirit or soul. And being religious, let's see what it means. Being religious, definition. Being religious means relating or believing in a religion. So what I'm taking away from this is there's a difference between being spiritual and being religious. So if you're spiritual, you might not necessarily be a Christian. You might think that there's other ways that are spiritually cleansing or something along those lines. If you're religious, it's more so you believe in some kind of deity. And for us as Christians, you know, we believe in God. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we believe in those people, and we follow them, and we worship them, and we try to obey with them. We live by what they say and what their word says, which is the Bible. And, you know, that's what my religion is. And most likely, if you're listening to it, then that's what your religion is as well. Do you have to change your life before you start following a religion? So, this depends. So, if you become a Christian and you've lived your life being somebody who's, here's an example. Like, let's say that you're in prison because you committed a crime, and somebody comes and they speak to you about the Bible, and they speak to you about Jesus, and you believe in him, and you decide to become a follower. Well, in that case, then most likely, you're going to want to, if you get out of prison, you're not going to want to go back to whatever crimes you were committing. You're going to want to live spiritually and try to believe in God and whatnot and live how he wants you to live and not live how you were living before. So, I mean, do you have to change your life before you start following a religion? That really greatly depends on how you're living your life. But I'm going to say that once you start believing in God, then yes, your life should always change in some slight way, because you should always be trying to be living more towards God, whereas before, most likely, you're living more for yourself. And that's just human nature, and that's what I would say on that. Should someone start attending a church if he or she doesn't believe in God? So some of these questions I might have already asked. I might not have, because I've gone over these so many different times, like just looking over it. So I might be thinking that I didn't actually say this on the podcast, but I might have. So feel free to skip through it if I have already said it. But to answer that question, I mean, well, No, I mean, or yes, sorry, I said that wrong. Yes, you should start attending church, even if you don't believe in God. It's like, if you have a devotional when you're younger, then what I had is a lot of times I would say to invite your friends to church, or if you're at church, it's like invite your friends to church, get your friends to come, get your family members to come. And even if somebody doesn't necessarily believe in God, getting them to come to church, getting them around that atmosphere might help them to believe in God. So yes, always try to get your friends to come to church, even if they don't believe in God. Can someone believe in God but not attend church? So obviously this is yes, because let's say you live in another country and there aren't any churches because let's say it's communist or dictatorship and they won't let you, there's no churches there. Well, yeah, I mean, you can be a Christian, and you can believe in God, and obviously you're not able to go to church. And I think it's the same thing. If you live in an area where you don't necessarily have the right church or something like that, or the churches are a different branch of Christianity than you are, then no, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But obviously, you know, that's something that you should try to do. And if you're looking for a church, this awesome online church, I'm sure I've mentioned it before, it's Red Rocks Church. It's absolutely incredible. It has a youth group, a youth ministry, and it has the adult But it has all of those available to you, and I love listening to the main ones because they're just so incredible, and they're just amazing. So make sure you check that out. What benefits can someone get from going to church? So I would say that if you go to church, that you also are probably going to be getting some different perspectives on some different point of views on different things. So if you just stay at home every Sunday and you never go to church and you just, you know, you read your Bible and stuff, you do your devotionals every day, yes, you are learning and you're growing spiritually, but if you go to a church, you'll have an atmosphere that is full of people wanting to grow spiritually, wanting to become closer to God. So those are some benefits that you can get from going to church, I would say. And, you know, that's what I would think. That's what I would say on that. If there is one God, why are there more than 4,000 religions? So, this is really interesting. So, hopefully this doesn't come back at me, but the other day, I was in school, okay, and the social study teacher was talking a lot about the different languages and stuff. And you're probably like, what does this have to do with all the different religions? I'm getting to it. Anyway, we were talking about how a bunch of different people had a bunch of different religions, and how it was important to try to understand other people and their religions. And so I asked him, what do people believe is the reason that there are so many different languages? And his answer was that over hundreds of thousands of years, people have evolved and different languages have evolved and spread over the earth, over hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of years. And so as Christians, we don't necessarily believe that the world has been around for millions of years and it's evolved for millions of years. We believe, or I personally believe, that it's been around for a couple hundred thousand years. Because if you live by the Bible timeline of things, then that's not millions of years. That's a couple hundred thousand years. So that's why I say that. And that's why I personally believe. And getting into that, back in the beginning of time, we had the Tower of Babel, right? There's these people, all of them are descendants of Moses, and they first say, let us build this tower that reaches up to the heavens. And then, eventually, they say, let us build this tower that goes up to the heavens, that we might become known across the face of the earth as a great city. And so they started doing this for selfish reasons. And all of them spoke the same language at the time. So God took it into his own hands, and he made them speak different languages, and they spread out across the earth, speaking different languages. Now, among each of these different languages, these different people believe different things, most likely. And as their children and their children's children and their children's children's children, as this line of descendants kept coming down, they started to slowly take what God had given us, what the truth is, and they slowly twisted it to make it what they wanted it to be. And then they passed that down onto their children and their children's children and so forth until that became a culture. And in that culture, that was that person's religion. And that's what I think. You know, that's how there became so many different religions, even though there is only one true God. Let's see. What is the coolest story from the Bible? So this is one that I'm going to be probably putting on my story. And this is a hard one. There are so many different stories in the Bible. And the next question is, what's the most important one? I would say that the most important story from the Bible is the story of Jesus dying on the cross. I mean, obviously, that's just the most important story of it all. But if we want to talk about like the coolest story, and we're talking about this, we mean other than the story of Jesus dying on the cross. We mean a different one. I would say, there's so many good stories. But personally, I love the story of David and Saul and Samuel, all of those people. And like, so all through like 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings, I absolutely love those books of the Bible. They are so good. I love reading those. But I also do like to read some of the original ones, you know, about Moses, and I think his name was Elijah. I might be saying that wrong. I might be saying it wrong. But those people, Abraham, like all those original people, those were also awesome too. But I personally, my favorite, what I think is the coolest story is probably the story about King David. That would probably be my favorite one. Are the characters in the Bible figurative or literal? So, I'm not 100% positive on this, but I think figurative means that it's like an example of what something actually was. So I'm going to say no to both of them, because I'm going to say that they were real. I don't know. Maybe figurative means, I don't know. That doesn't seem like that's what it means. But I'm going to say that the characters in the Bible are real, and it's based on it. And all of it's not based, but it is fact, and it's what happened in the past. So that's what I would say on that. Why do you believe in something you can't see? Alright, so personally, I don't have TikTok. I'm not allowed to have TikTok, and I don't really want it very much, to be honest. But I have seen on Instagram there are some reels, and sometimes I have some friends that will post them and whatever. One time, I saw this reel, and I loved this so much. It was very, very eye-opening almost. I was like, wow, this makes so much sense. And everybody always says, why do you believe in something you can't see? And my favorite thing to say after I saw this reel was that, well, why do you believe in the wind? You can't really see the wind. You can see the things it affects. You can feel it. You can feel it, but you can't see it. And that's what my favorite thing about that is that it's the same way with God. Even if we can't see him right now, we can see the things that he's affecting. We can feel him. We can sense him. We have all these different senses that help us with that. And so that's what I would say on that. Does God answer prayers? So I think for Christians and even non-Christians, this is where people get off of it a little bit. So I'm going to share a story. I shared this story when I first started my podcast. So back in like maybe the very first or second episode I ever released on my podcast, this story is back in there. When I lived in a different state, I'm not going to say which one. I'm not going to be saying any names. That'd just be rude. But when I lived in a different state, there was this one girl on one of my dad's basketball teams. And she had been through a lot. She had a hard life. Her mom had left them for drugs and stuff. And, you know, she had just had a really hard life, and she no longer believed in God, and her whole family had been very religious up until the point where her mom had left. And I was telling her about God, and I was, you know, giving some stuff back to her, because I was like, you know, I was trying to help explain it to her why I believed in God. And she was just like, okay, well, if I ask God, if I pray to him to do this big thing and he does it, then I believe in him again. And so I think that's where a lot of people get confused, because the Bible says that God will always answer your prayers. And this is true. God will always answer your prayers, but he might not always answer it the way that you want him to. You might want him to say yes to something, but he might say no, because he knows what's best for you. And so that's why I was very frustrated when she said that, because even though she might pray to God, she would probably pray not believing that he was real, and two, she might ask for something that God would be like, you know what, no, this isn't something that's best for you, it's not what I want for you, and it's not really going to help you. And so he was probably going to say no to that, so I knew that she might not believe because of that. And you know, it's her own decision, and you know, we can't affect that, we can't affect what somebody else believes. We can share what we believe, but we can't force somebody to believe in God. We can only share our testimony. And that's the last question that I'm going to get to today. And I know I only really asked one personal, like, what do you think question, but I'll put that on my story, maybe with a couple other ones. I'll try to put some Bible trivia, Bible would you rather, all kinds of stuff on my story whenever I can. I'll try to get some people to interview as soon as possible, but I just want to let you guys know it might not happen very quickly. It might be a while before I can post again. But I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening in today. If you made it this far, I know this is a longer one for 50 questions. But just thank you guys so much. I love all your support. And I love hearing from you guys. And if you want to let me know what you think or who you think is a great would be a great guest, you can email me at afgsdgpodcast@gmail.com, and I will try to respond to you as soon as possible. So thank you again for listening, and reach out to me. Tell me who you think would be awesome to have on the podcast as a guest, and I will do my best. Thank you again, and please share with everybody you know about the podcast. Thanks for listening, and remember, in all you do, do it all for God's glory.